Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Cheddar Cameron, John Ritchie. Tuesday morning, 94 WIP. Flyers backs all the way up against the wall. After Detroit, Washington, and Pittsburgh all won last night, Flyers have to win tonight. They have to win in regulation. Washington, who the Flyers play, Pittsburgh, and Detroit in two other games, one tonight, one tomorrow, all have to lose in regulation. So the odds are stacked against them, but we'll see what the Flyers can do with Game 82. 215-592-9494. Reminder, big day today here on WIP as Spike Eskin debuts, along with Ike and Jack, the new afternoon show. We are looking for a show name for them. So far, leader in the clubhouse, should I say it again? It's Jack and two Jills. I'm just saying.
Leader in your clubhouse.
Yeah, leader in my clubhouse. But give us a better name. What do you got for a name?
I've heard it's polling well so far. So, yeah, we're
sure.
In good shape.
I'm sure not from Mike's house it's not, though. Mike's not voting for that. All right, give us a good name for the afternoon, guys. 215-592-9494. Let's also get to, you know, the big game tomorrow night, obviously, with the Sixers. Sixers and the Heat. And, you know, I think we know Joel's, you know, he's physically fine. I mean, we hope. Obviously didn't play game 82, but here we go. Start of the playoffs tomorrow night. Kelly Oubre talking yesterday, asked a question about Joel, and I think the implication with the question is probably his physicality, but I really like where Oubre takes this answer regarding Joel's mentality. Here's Oubre on Joel yesterday.
How did Joel look in practice today?
He made shots. He looked normal. He looked like himself, you know. But you can definitely tell the seriousness in his face, you know, and in his work ethic and everything that he's doing, the way he's carrying himself. He wants to win, so it was good to see him moving and doing his thing.
I like it. I like the pivot.
Purpose.
Yep. I like that a lot.
Moving with purpose.
It's good stuff. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to John right now. John, good morning, buddy.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing super.
Hold on, Tiger. We'd like to say something to you.
Good morning. And thank you for joining me.
Just because we had three good mornings there in about 3 seconds, I figured I'd add a fourth. So, hello.
No problem. I'd like to tell you, it is a good morning after the Phillies win last night. Pache, it's good to see him get a moment like that. But in my opinion, it really shouldn't be coming down to that against a team like the Rockets.
That's correct. That's right.
like one of the other callers was talking about, I think I'm done with the dimwit experience here. I just don't understand when you got guys like Sosa and Pache as right-handed hitters who have proven they've done decent when playing, when the starters get a break. They continue to go with Witt, and he has come up small so far this year.
Well, he has, very small. Look, he's playing about half the games. I'll say this, John. It's way too early to say let's not play that guy at all. I mean,
right. Way
too early. And that would probably send a ripple through the clubhouse that, if I had to guess, would not be appreciated, particularly by veteran players. So I would give Rob Thompson more, just more grace on this one. Because, you know, one of the things I think he does well is have the pulse of the clubhouse and do what's in their long-term best interest. I agree with you, there are times where he plays the wrong player to win a game that night. And maybe he should amend that a little bit. But I also think he's got a pretty good feel for what gets you not only to game 163, meaning the postseason, but deeper into the postseason. And you don't just abandon Whit Merrifield after 2 weeks. Yes, right now he's horrible, but you got to keep giving this guy a shot.
I'm not saying completely abandon him. I'm just saying maybe give guys like Pache and Sosa a couple starts here and there in between it. Ian Pache hit really well in spring training too. So I thought, and when he got the hit last night, I thought really good for him because I thought he earned a moment like that, and for him to deliver, It was good to see.
Yeah, I got you. All right, John, give me an answer for a great what if you can win the Aerosmith tickets.
Oh, my. What if Joe Carter fouled that low inside pitch off?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Ben, you want to take a crack
really
at that?
Really going depressing with these, huh?
Exactly. Thank you, James.
I got to write that down.
Joe Carter.
Joe Carter foul ball. So let me answer that.
I think Seriously. There's a better what if from that game, right? I mean, what if he didn't go to Mitch is the what if from that game.
Yeah. Well, that is the ultimate what
if. That's the ultimate what if from that
correct.
Game.
That's correct, yeah. I was going to be a wise ass and say if Joe Carter fouls the ball off the next pitch, he hits for a home run.
Probably, honestly.
And the way
Mitch was going, he probably would.
Guys, I was 15 years old. I burst out in tears. Did you cry, Ben? You were about the same age.
No, I didn't cry.
You were more of a man as a teenager than I was.
I'm still wondering how he kept that damn ball fair.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, that pitch down and in – and how he didn't yank it foul. I mean, it was, I don't know. It was just heartbreaker.
Heartbreak.
Absolute heartbreaker.
Absolute crushing.
Because everything was leading up to that moment like, damn, this team is doing it.
I know. Lenny got the home run in the seventh. And people probably forget, the Phillies were down 5-1 entering the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt dead-ish. 5-1, 9 outs remaining in the season. And then a couple guys get on base. Lenny hits the 3-run homer to make it 5-4. Mm-hmm. Then a couple more guys get on base. I think you get a single up the middle, take a 6-5 lead, carry that into the ninth. And then obviously all hell broke loose in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Just an absolute freaking devastator. Let's talk to Eric and Cherry Hill. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Eric?
I just want to talk the draft real quick.
Sure, let's do it.
I don't think that we should reach. I don't think that we should trade up necessarily for, an offensive lineman. But, one of the big storylines was Barkley. And, like John was saying, I think we need to play to that, I guess if you want to call our offense, our strongest asset right now.
So this is the go get an offensive lineman argument?
Well, like I said, I don't want to reach. I don't want to, go crazy about it. But, in a way, I feel like you're kind of like not going with offense just to not go without, like, take a lesser defensive player.
Well, look, these things always get a little tricky because every organization has two objectives in mind. The first is to get the best player available. And the second is to get a position of need. And if they can coincide, that's great. They sometimes do, sometimes don't. I mean, Eric, we know this. They're not going to draft I was going to say quarterback. I won't say that. They're not going to draft a running back if the best player on their board is a running back at pick 22. They're just not going to do it. Look, here's my main thing. I'm tired of hearing about where the Eagles are strong and let's make it stronger. Okay, I want them to draft defense. I understand there is a guard issue right now. If Steen can't start, look, we don't know if Steen can start. Maybe Tyler Steen starts and you got your 5 offensive linemen. And then in particular, I'm saying, why are we talking about offensive linemen? I mean, I just think, Eric, at every level of defense, they could use help. And all this offensive line talk, frankly, irritates me. Because it's too much. It's like, yeah, we're strong there. Let's get stronger. What about the defense that stunk last year? Yes, they've made some adjustments. I'm not saying they've abandoned it, but I want more. I need more because I think the team needs more. Eric, give me a big time answer, my man. A great what if. What do you have?
Oh, yeah. Love him or hate him. He's the GOAT. And what if Drew Bledsoe never got injured?
Yeah, that's an interesting one also. The Bledsoe injury drilled by, was it Mo?
Mo Lewis, right?
Mo Lewis.
Yeah.
Of the New York Jets drilling Drew Bledsoe. Paving the way for Tom Brady. All right, up ahead in 1 minute, there is a defensive player the Eagles have been attached to quite a bit in many mock drafts. That player under the microscope for Daniel Jeremiah, and not exactly a ringing endorsement from Jeremiah. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute's time.
If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino business, and you're looking for a point-of-sale system that can truly make a difference, call PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ POS, they've been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years, because they offer everything: mobile POS, self-service kiosks, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available, but they'll save you time, effort, and money so you can focus on what really matters: your customers. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn and his team will create a custom game plan to fit your individual business needs. Trust me, if you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. So what are you waiting for? Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, Shutter Cameron and John Ritchie on this Tuesday morning. Busy time in Philly sports, really all four teams on the table. Howie and Nick Sirianni will speak later. Their pre-draft meet with the media this afternoon, something I would certainly imagine we would carry here live on WIP. That's going to be during the new show with Spike Eskin hosting along with Jack and Ike from 2 to 6.
2:30, I believe, is the time.
The presser? Good deal. All right, let's listen to Daniel Jeremiah. So a lot of talk has been about offensive linemen. But we also understand corner is a need and a spot where Nate Wiggins, the cornerback, has been attached to the Eagles in a variety of mock drafts. Daniel Jeremiah sizing up Nate Wiggins. And I'll tell you this, this is not exactly what I'd call a ringing endorsement here. Here is Daniel Jeremiah just starting off the process of talking to Nate Wiggins.
Your final pick here, DJ, was one that you made in your most recent mock draft that, like, you made it, but you didn't love it.
Yeah, and you know, I think you phrased it well there. Nate Wiggins is really talented. I could make a case if you just watch him cover, he's the best pure cover guy in the entire draft. Out of Clemson, he's long, he's lean, he ran the 4.2s. You know, he showed up at the combine, he was in 173 pounds. He put some weight back on for his pro day. That's not the issue for me, but I have him going to the Philadelphia Eagles because they have a screaming need at the position and he can really cover.
I know. So far, no major red flags in what he said, because he's telling you he might be the best cover guy in the draft. And obviously on the surface, that sounds great. And listen, maybe this will be the pick and maybe he'll be a terrific cover corner. But what Daniel Jeremiah is leading up to is where he goes here. He believes Wiggins has a legit flaw. Listen as he continues on.
Personally, I've just kind of gotten away and I've kind of pushed guys down over the last several years that aren't tackling corners. Like, you used to be able to play with guys who didn't really tackle. And I think, you know, my theory on it is you know, when McVay kind of took over this league and Shanahan took over this league, and then their tree expanded massively, reduced splits, bringing corners into run fits more so than they've ever been before. And you can't hide those guys anymore, man. And they're just going to leave him unblocked. You're going to make him the force player. And it's a nightmare. So to me, I've pushed those guys down a little bit, those pure cover corners that I didn't trust to be able to get guys on the ground. And I'm not talking about being a trained killer in there and knocking the guy's mouthpiece out. I'm just get him on the ground. I don't care how you do it, but just find a way to get him on the ground. So that was my hang up with him as a player.
All right, John. So that's, you know, obviously Jeremiah at NFL Network talking about Nate Wiggins. We've seen these kind of guys before. Asante Samuel was one of them. Drove me nuts.
I mean, Darius Slay is kind of one of them.
He is kind of one of them. Now, look, would I take Darius Slay if I could draft him right now and get him 10 years ago? Sure. Do I know Nate Wiggins is going to be as good at cover corner as Darius Slay? I don't. He probably won't be. I mean, Darius Slay has been one of the best, obviously, in the last 10 years. John Wiggins as a player. I mean, he is the player most often attached to the Eagles in the mock draft.
I
do.
The cornerback, maybe. You know, the thing.
Is it a thumbs up on Nate Wiggins, thumbs down, or a thumb sideways?
I think this should be an incredibly vibrant and waving red flag right now. Daniel Jeremiah, the red flag. Like, what he's telling us is this guy doesn't play football the way we like guys to play football. What he's telling us without saying it is this guy doesn't like to sacrifice his body. This guy doesn't like to support the run.
Yep.
This guy is, a little more passive, even in coverage. This guy is a 4.28 electronic in the 40. 4.28. He got by on speed his entire life. And now he's going to be competing against guys who are closer to his speed. And he's going to have to be better in other ways. That's where guys like this sometimes get into trouble. And I don't want to have to deal with that. I feel as though what
I'm
Daniel
surprised
Jeremiah
to hear you
told
say
us,
this. I really am.
What Daniel Jeremiah told us and what you see when you watch him play a little bit is he doesn't want to tackle. He is more of a cover guy. He's got great
anticipation for man coverage and everything. And he's going to, if he gets his hands on it, he's going to take it to the house. This guy is dynamic. But if he doesn't want to tackle and he's just not tough-minded, yeah.
Now, Deion didn't want to. Deion's the all-time example. He's the best corner ever, and he didn't want to tackle.
Right.
So, you know, it depends how good you are at cover. I mean, I can deal with it if I got Deion Sanders. I struggle with it if I got old man Asante Samuel, and now I'm less inclined to be in the mood to watch him not be able to tackle, not choose to tackle, when you got declining skills as an actual cover corner. And, this guy's not old. He's not old man Asante. This guy's young man Nate. So, we'll see. I mean, I'll tell you this. I do know this. And I think most of us in Philadelphia can't stand that attribute. Or right. I don't know if attribute's the right term. That tendency. Like, I can't stand the Eagles corner that doesn't want to tackle. Drives me nuts.
Yes. Well, especially and coming off the last Eagles game we watched. It's a particular time where after the tackling in that playoff game from the corners.
That's right.
James Bradbury in particular.
Wow. Didn't you imagine?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Him declining. Can you imagine this Wiggins guy coming in here and declining a tackle in a preseason game at some point? That this is not going to work. If he doesn't want to come in here, like Sidney Brown, if he doesn't want to come in here and fly around and just put his mark on the field and other players on the other team, then you're not going to fit our expectations.
But I will say skill matters. Like, this guy's probably going to have a better future than Sidney Brown. Sidney Brown can be a missile hitting anybody and everybody, but if he can't cover, he doesn't have much use in the NFL. So
different.
Yeah, but he's still a defensive back. I mean, you got a lot to do back there. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Ross Tucker. More on the draft coming up in 5 minutes with Ross, a deep dive on the draft. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
So my name for the morning, for the afternoon show, is something along the lines of, it's the new afternoon show because we don't have enough Eskins.
Yeah, it's a bad name. I give a thumbs down to that name. How about name? Another Eskin?
You need the question that like it's like an it's just another Eskin.
No, I'm just joking, Ken. I think
are there
all
any more? Do we need to search the family trees?
There you go.
I don't. In all honesty, I don't really listen to that show very much. So you guys are my thing. Look, Philly's tough watch last night. Obviously. You know, you just have to continue to tell yourself they're not gonna be this bad hitting the baseball for the entire year. But it was excruciating. It's supposed to be entertainment, and there's nothing about that's entertaining.
Than Aaron Nola, I mean, yeah, the hitting was brutal,
and the play at the plate that was super entertaining.
Yeah,
that was
cool,
kind of funny actually. So
Continues to get on base, even though it's not impressively hit balls. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, but he's hit a bunch of balls right on the button that didn't.
You're right. They go right into the glove of an opponent. I agree. It all evens out.
That's kind of the way baseball works out, right? Like you get repaid somewhere down the line. So on the draft, Joe, couple things. First of all, I texted James last week before Ross even brought the name up. Ennis Rakestraw. Put the tape on. Ennis Rakestraw, corner out of Missouri, who's probably going to be there in the second round. This kid loves contact. He's long. He's physical. He's the exact opposite of Wiggins. And I really like him. So, but in terms of the draft philosophy, Joe, the Eagles have expended a lot of draft capital over the last three drafts on defensive players.
I think they drafted the wrong guys, Ken.
Well,
that's why I'm going back there. Look, this whole situation would be easier, for instance, if Jordan Davis was better. I think D tackle's a big need. I really do.
At some point, you got to find out. At some point,
well,
you think we didn't
find out last year when he disappeared for about 10 straight games?
But again, he was there's recency bias of the last 8 games of the season. Jordan Davis was unblockable in the first half of the year, and when him and Jalen Carter were on the field together, in the first half of the year, they were totally unblocked.
Ken, I'll give you about five. Look, I don't remember the exact point of demarcation. I'll tell you this. My recollection, it was about five or six games of I'll call it dominance by Jordan Davis. And then remember, in a 17-game season, which means 18 games with the postseason, if he was, let's just say he was dominant for six, I'm just taking a stab at it, that means he was not for 12.
Felt like the Bills game, I felt like he was pretty good through. He had that play on Josh Allen, and then it felt like after that play, he was done.
Yeah, but, well, I agree with you after that play he was done, but I think the prior month he hadn't done much before that play. All right, Ken, Ross Tucker coming up shortly. Give me an answer here for a what if. What do you got?
What if Benedict Arnold had not been discovered in his treachery and was able to surrender West Point to the British? We might not have a United States of America.
All right, Benedict Arnold. How about that?
That's a valid point.
All right, Ross Tucker, surely. Here's a what if. What if the Sixers had it totally screwed it up with Jimmy Butler? Which leads us to today's Twitter poll question of the day, because Twitter poll question is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2024 Chevy Trax, it's arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. Starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Look, I wish Jimmy was a Sixer. He's not. He's a Heat. Joel's a Sixer. Today's Twitter poll question for tomorrow night's game. All things considered, who would you rather have on your team tomorrow night in the game? A, Joel Embiid, or B, Jimmy Butler? Ben, do you have a lean on this one? Because yeah. I will tell you, the closer we get to the game, the more scared I am, because I'm remembering the Jimmy Butler thing. He's an adult. He handles his business. He is an assassin in the postseason. Are you going to tell me it's Joel?
Yes.
Okay.
But I will say it's one of my favorite lines ever.
Which one?
They took him over me.
Yeah. I know.
That was freaking
he
awesome.
He drove that point home.
He did.
It was awesome.
I just noticed a problem with the Heat's, representation, the way that they present themselves.
Which is what?
Like, you, the way that you just said it, you can say he's a Sixer.
Yep.
You know, Jimmy Butler, he was a Sixer.
Sure.
And now he's a
Heat. Yeah, the singular.
What is that?
Well, it's because
there's no S. The no S is
now
horrible.
He's a Heat.
You just realized this, though?
No, I didn't just realize it. Like the Magic, the Jazz.
It's horrible. Horrible. Yeah.
The Heat sounds especially bad. So, like, that might be the worst sounding
he's a Heat.
Of all.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, Magic is right there with it.
Well,
Heat
certainly
Magic
could
are
say,
the two worst.
Yeah, he's a Jazz would make
no sense. Yeah, he's a Magic. He's a Jazz. Ooh, any of the S ones, yeah.
No, that's brutal.
No S ones.
Well, Jimmy Butler is a Heat. And he talked yesterday, looking ahead to tomorrow night. And as always, Jimmy, focused. Listen, guys, again, I lean Sixers tomorrow night. And I understand, you know, the belief in Joel, and he's a great player. But, man, Jimmy Butler, he raises his game in the postseason. He talked yesterday, looking ahead to tomorrow night.
Give us your thoughts on that next challenge for your team Wednesday night against the 76ers.
You just got to go out there and compete. Play basketball the right way. And do something very difficult, which is to win on Philly's floor. But it's a time of the year where, you know, you're going to have to do that anyways if you want to win a championship. Obviously, we're going to have to do it if we want to get to seven.
Jimmy, you feel confident that you guys went this round last year and you guys know it can be done?
We're not the same group as last year, so we leave that where it's at. And we're moving forward with the group that we do have, but I are very confident in the guys that we do have, and we know we're capable of. So we'll see what we got whenever the time gets here.
He does talk with a lot of conviction. I mean, guys, I don't want to, like, raise the flag of total scaredness, because I'm not there. I'm just telling you, the closer we get to this game and the more I remember what this guy has done in recent years, it is worrying me about tomorrow. By the way, Spoelstra is another factor, and I want you to listen. This is a short piece of audio of Eric Spoelstra yesterday talking about tomorrow. He's got three words in here that I admire from his end, and I need the 76ers to match this, because we know Jimmy Butler will. Here is Eric Spoelstra talking. You know, Jimmy Butler used the word, you know, talking about, you know, compete. Here's Spoelstra yesterday talking about tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It'll be a great environment. Philly's been playing fantastic, recently. So we know what to expect up there, and that is what we say, you know, it's for competitors only, and it should be a lot of fun.
For competitors only.
That's great.
Guys, we need Joel Embiid to match every single morsel of energy effort, focus, the whole thing on the competitiveness, because you know Jimmy Butler's going to bring it. Like, if we had a Twitter poll question, which player is more likely? I understand you might pick Joel as a better player. I get that. But if we had a Twitter poll question, which player is more likely to bring it tomorrow?
No.
Might not win it, but to bring it. There is no doubt.
You actually think Joel won't bring it?
John, there is no doubt
Jimmy Butler
is more likely to bring it. He never doesn't bring it.
He might win the poll against everyone in the NBA. Butler might win the poll if you put every player in the NBA who's the most likely to just give it 100% of what they have tonight. Jimmy Butler might win the poll in the whole NBA. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Correct. And for the Sixers to win the title, they need every ounce of everything from Joel. And make the path easier, win the freaking game tomorrow, play the Knicks, in which a series I think the Sixers would be favored, play the Bucks. Maybe it isn't even the Bucks. Maybe they don't even get there. It looks like Greek Freak's not going to start that series. You know, maybe you're getting the freaking, who is that, the Pacers.
Pacers.
Deal with the Celtics in a month. Like, there is a path. But I need Joel to match Jimmy Butler's focus and intensity. All right, let's talk some NFL.
I cannot imagine. He will not be as intense and focused as we've ever seen him with a one-game play-in. Look, he's friends with Jimmy Butler. These guys are really close. Remember, once upon a time, they were besties.
And Butler will cut his freaking heart out.
And
if
I'm telling you, they both feel the same way about this game. It is time to butt heads.
Well,
this is going to be a massive.
You know what it is, Tom John?
Boom, boom, boom. It's pound four quarters,
it's
man.
It's time for the Sixers to win.
Yes.
Because this is the game. I mean, they haven't been in this particular game. But these are the kind of moments where the Sixers have lost in recent years. Win the game.
Yeah, and I really have a good feeling, man.
And
this
by the way,
team.
I can't believe we're getting so fired up for a 7-8 matchup.
I know. Especially, I mean, it's the play-in tournament. I mean, you have been so anti it, you know, and now we're here.
Oh,
let's go.
God. All right, coming up.